Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadija Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride.
Yeah. All right, the group ride is back. Well, sort of back. Sarah's back, but she only has hearing in one ear. And Khadija isn't going to be with us like this week or next week, we think, because of Ramadan. So we're like half back.
You know what? I am here. I'm excited. I felt like death last week. So like I'm pretty bummed. I'm pretty bummed. Yeah.
Do you guys keep track of how many times you get sick from your kid?
I have stopped.
Same.
Yeah. No, I was going to say last year, which was his first year in daycare, was worse. But this is the second time that I've had like just kind of a cold become an infection. So the last time I was trying to race Kona and it was a cold that became an upper respiratory infection. This time it was a cold that became a sinus and ear infection. So like I only count if there's bodily fluids involved or if like, you know, I need to go to the doctor, I count those now.
Okay.
Like the colds, I mean, the colds are nonstop.
Yeah, the colds, I feel like before kids, if I had a cold, it was like, okay, I'm if it's really bad, I'll be out of work for one day. And now it's like, and I had a sinus infection last year. It was like, well, I've had like yellowish phlegm for like 2 weeks now. Maybe I should see somebody.
Oh man, I bet your patients really love that. I used to get bronchitis all the time, and so I like everything would just turn to bronchitis for me. And people love it when you're just like coughing up a storm next to. Oh yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. Here's a question for you guys, though. So I have had whatever, like kind of since I had like COVID last year, I think I've just sort of been like low level congested a lot. Mm. And then it was super dry this week and super windy, and I got a bloody nose when I was biking. And I wasn't wearing gloves though, because it's warm enough. What the fuck do you do if you're getting a bloody nose when you're in the middle of a bike ride and you're like not wearing, like I wasn't wearing gloves. I was like, how do I stop this? It was terrible.
Because you can't do a snot rocket with blood.
No. It's like, just like coming. Oh my God.
Yeah, because you don't get that propulsion. That's just going to be even more blood.
Blood already. Everywhere. Can you like, are you mobile enough to stick your nose in your shoulder?
Yeah, I was like wiping on my arm and then my arm was like bloody and I was like, oh no. And then the people driving by are like, what's wrong with that girl?
Like, I say you just own it.
Just
you
own
know?
It. Just blood it. Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. Ain't nothing.
All right. I feel like this episode's starting off great.
I was going to apologize to our listeners, but that's just kind of where we are right now. Sorry, everyone. It's going to be that kind of podcast.
It's going to be that kind of day. We are going to talk about sex in Olympic villages, you know, key questions. And then Jocelyn wants us to solve all of her questions about training with power. All of that today.
Chasing epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, With a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orchid's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orchid wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at Orchid.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with One Water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year, and I used TriHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TriHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TriHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the TriHard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. All right, I know we only like rarely talk about triathlon, but I did want to talk to you guys. So I was looking at these results from this past weekend, and Campeche, which is down in Mexico, it sounds like the race was kind of chaos there. Like, there were a bunch of pros. It sounds like it was like bike traffic going head on in both directions. So like people weren't staying to like the, you know what I mean? Like they were like weaving between each other, like open roads. People ended up on the freeway on accident. There were aid stations like only on one side of the bike course. And so people were just like darting across traffic to like get bottles. And I gathered that like, you know, some people crashed because that's crazy. And so like we've all done these races and now races where it's been chaos. And now all the pros are kind of like, well, this is like our livelihood. Like we have a certain standard of expectation when we show up. Like what? I'm like, what is the standard? If it has an Ironman brand name on it, I feel like you do sort of expect.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the perks of doing an MDOT race is that you're expecting a certain standard.
You're paying all that extra money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I have done that race. And the only thing I really remember was that we got to the first aid station and it wasn't open.
Sure.
Like there just nobody there. We're like, yeah, it's kind of hot and humid. I could really, you know, probably use some water. But yeah, I've definitely been in races where the next year it doesn't exist as a race because it's such a shit show. Right. But this is a race that's been around for a while, so they should have
surprising.
Yeah, that's really surprising.
I wonder if they like changed something. That's always like, you know, behind the scene details. But like, I have been. What's the sketchiest situation you've been in a race?
Remember how I got hit by a car during Ironman Korea? And back then, I was racing as a pro, so that was my livelihood. I was not the only athlete that got hit by a car and was in the Korean hospital where no one spoke English.
Oh man.
And next year they did pull the MDOT. So the race still went on, but it was no longer sanctioned as like an Ironman race.
Does Ironman still like sanction or franchise race? You know what I mean? Like, do they like, they don't like rent out the MDOT anymore, right? Like they run all their own races.
I don't
most of like
know.
90% of them. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know exactly what they do because it's like they have regional people.
They have regional directors, yeah.
Regional directors and individual race directors.
They do. But I don't think they franchise anymore in the way that like you can't pay them like $25,000 and just get an MDOT.
Right.
It's not like McDonald's.
No, it used to be. And there were still, I mean, there were like requirements, but it used to, like, McDonald's also has requirements, but it's not like that anymore.
There are standards at McDonald's. Yeah.
Really high standards, actually.
Yeah, you have to like do everything the exact same way. Like, even when you buy a franchise, you like go through like training. Just fun fact. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I also heard that full Ironman numbers, like people wanting to do 140 miles, are down. And it's not just pandemic, right? Like, they've been going down since peak triathlon. But they're not rebounding the same way. Or especially rebounding. But the short distances are. And everyone's like, 70.3s are booming. Everyone's betting on sprints being super big. And I'm trying to decide if that's like, if I'm seeing that anecdotally or not. Like, I'm not sure.
But they've also pulled all these like Ironman distance races.
Yeah.
Where the biggest population of athletes that want to do that distance here in America, North America, it's just like less options now. So why are we surprised?
I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. So, Kelly, are you asking, is this just your perception, or like, where are you getting these stats from?
Right. So these are numbers, Sarah. It's data.
Okay. What's your source here?
What's my source? So at Endurance Exchange, they had some of these numbers, and for sure, like, I think it's a little hard to make any kind of a trend statement like this, like at this point of the pandemic, because some things are just like, it's still really volatile. Like maybe Ironman spiked the year after we got back to racing because everyone had rollovers still left from the cancellations. You see what I'm saying? Like that would explain that. Yes. So like it's been very volatile. So then it's like, it's not really down from that. It's just that like, that was 2 years worth of racing in 1 year. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like,
because I remember friends that were like, I have all these like rollovers, so I'm like signed up for like four or five this year, where like typically they might have done one or two.
Right. That was like that year. And so then people are like, oh, it's down this year, but I think a little bit of that's like inflated. But Ironman will also, like, there's a reason they're getting rid of races in North America, and it's because they weren't selling out, right? Like, you can also like see the writing on the wall and like go around and look at like registration numbers, and like they are not selling out in the same. I mean, Placid is, guys, because everyone's going to be at Placid.
But you back up like several years when Ironman was bullying out the local iron distance races by having a competing event of the same distance nearby on the same or like close to the same date. And then those went out of business. And then so then they had their Ironman race, and then, oh, surprise, they're not selling out anymore. Now we're going to pull that. And now there's not an option for a cheaper local race that's an Ironman distance.
It's probably like, it's some of that. It's some of the like, I think it's also probably just like Ironman still struggle with this like one and done notion, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. you can grow a thing or a business up to a point, right? And there was like the massive boom happening through like 2016 across the board, right? But then you kind of hit like probably almost everyone who's going to do one, like one time.
So it's, you a either bucket have to list
get,
thing.
Yeah. So you either have to get them to do them again, or you have to get new people, right? Like, those are your options. You can either get new triathletes or get people to do multiple triathlons. And so Ironman probably like kind of started to hit its like tap out of all the people who were just going to do one.
Yeah. So how do you get people to be interested in it as a lifestyle, not just a bucket list item?
Right. And that's probably where like everyone's betting on like short course, Olympic, like things that you can like do without having to like have it take over your life, right? Like, you can just go and like do on the weekend with your friend.
Yeah. You don't even really necessarily have to train.
You don't have to train.
Well, I mean, you have to be active. You have to be an active person, but like, you don't have to hit a certain number of hours, like, to be able to finish one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is what we always tell people when they're doing their first sprint. It's like, especially if they already know like how to do all the things, you're like, guys, like, you already do all of these things every week. Just like put them all together and eat something. It like isn't that big a deal. So yeah, I don't know. There's also, to your question, where the numbers coming from, it's also like, if you look at like investment and shit, like Super League's betting big on short course in the US. So it's like USAT. And you can see, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can see where people are, like, kind of expecting there to be growth, like, where they're hoping or predicting.
Yeah, I mean, I hope for the sake of the sport that there ends up being more robust, like, sprint Olympic. I mean, I just think about trying to retain people who are interested in the sport. And that's like, you can't have a job and family and, you know, do tons of Ironman races easily.
I'm like, wait, Sarah, don't you do that?
You can easily. I mean, it's not a it's not a casual endeavor, right?
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment. It's a part-time job, right?
A part-time job. It is.
But if you just want to do a sprint, that's something that you sign up with friends and just kind of do it and have fun. Like, we need more of that.
We need more of that. I also think, like, 70.3s, and I remember this, like, from, like, I wrote about this at Triathlete Magazine. 70.3s are hugely popular. Like, they are, like, kind of how half marathons drove the running boom growth, because it still feels like a thing, like it's still hard, but you can like be done and like go get lunch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the distance for me where I'm like, yeah, I feel like I have to train for this, yeah, at least more than like my 4 hours a week. But anything shorter I'm like not as motivated to train for, because I'm like, well, I know, like,
as Sarah just said, you don't have to train. Just, yeah,
I could,
no,
do it without training.
Sprint in the Olympic.
Yeah, for sprint and Olympic. But then you get to the half distance, yes, and you're like, oh, I gotta sweat a little bit more, or it's really gonna suck.
Yeah.
So, you still have to run a half marathon after other things, and that's a lot. Yeah,
it's a lot. I will say though, around here, like, we have like no triathlons.
Still. Really?
At all?
No, I mean, like, there's, but it's just not, like, because they all, like, all of the, like, region, like, the regional providers, you know what I mean? Like, the ones that, like, whatever it is in your region, where they had, like, a couple of races, and they were, like, medium-sized.
Yeah.
Yeah, those, like, basically all went out of business around here.
Like, Folsom?
Yeah, Folsom's still around. But, like, basically, but, yeah, in the Bay Area.
What happened
just,
to Tri-California?
Went out of business. It got bought by Motive, or it sold a majority share, like, 51% to Motive Sports back when they were struggling with the drought issues around Wildflower. And they needed, like, cash. And then Motive,
is this a different Motive than our podcast
sponsor? Yeah. Motive Sports is what also bought Malibu.
Okay.
And sold it to Super League. Motive Sports bought Malibu, bought 51% of Tri-Cal, bought like a bunch of the like Surf City Marathon, whatever, right? Like, bought a bunch of stuff. And then it was also going to be like a content hub for sports, for, you know what I mean? Whatever we call our stuff. And then they lasted like 2 years, and then they went out of business.
Hmm. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So that kind of, I think that put the nail in the coffin for Tri-Cal, which was unfortunate.
That is unfortunate, because they had really good races.
They did. But so they went out of business, and then Vineman, like, they had a whole bunch, and they sold to Ironman, and they went out of business with their other stuff, you know? Wow. And then, yeah, so we don't have, like, there's a handful here and there where people put on, like, really small ones, right, for, like, $50.
That's too bad, because, like, growing up out there, that's,
it's huge.
You know, there were so many races I did when I was younger around that area.
There's, I think there's also some like cost and COVID issues that hit the Bay Area particularly toughly. What's the word I'm looking for? Particularly hard. Yeah. So do you guys have like medium, small, you know, regional races?
No.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're shaking your head. Nobody can see that. It is a podcast.
Oh, yeah. No. So we did have Timberman came back.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's on again this year. I don't think there's a pro race if it is on, but that's basically it. And that's a couple hours away. There's some small races in Massachusetts, which is a couple hours from us, but really nothing. You have to go up to Mont-Tremblant, which is, you know, 4.5 hour drive. It's pretty rural where I am. Not exactly a triathlon hotbed.
I feel like you should put on a local triathlon, Sarah. That's what I'm hearing here. Is in your free time, which I know you have a lot of, you should put on a local grassroots sprint triathlon.
We could call it the True Athlon.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think this would be great. People would do it.
Only if you both do it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We could do it. We'll support the race. Mm-hmm. I have, like, over here, so Reminder, I'm in Delaware in the part that's right in between Baltimore and Philly, but we have a surprising amount of races like that are like within an hour drive. So, and like medium to small, like the closest big races, like Eagleman is an hour and a half south of us, which is also where Ironman Maryland is, which used to be called Chesapeake Man before Ironman bought it. But there actually used to be more here. So there's like some of them went away,
right?
You know, different companies acquired other companies. So we have Kinetic Multisports, which used to be like the Virginia Maryland triathlon series. And then they bought the Delaware races, which were Piranha Sports. And so it's like a cluster of them that go from like DC up through like Pennsylvania. But there's like almost one like every other week or something like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
To be fair, we do have big races here. Like if you want to spend a lot of money, we have like the big ones, right? We just don't have like the medium ones. But we have like if you want to do a 50K trail race, there are like three every weekend. You can do
one
of those.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, there's literally a lot of trail races there.
There's a lot of trail. Like I was joking to my husband because I was like, oh, I think I need, and I was like, well, I'll just pick a weekend. There's like three the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So are trail races way cooler than triathlon is what you're saying?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the impression I get.
I think it's both like cooler and like whatever, or whatever the word is like kids use for cool now. What did the kids say? Like
on fleek.
No, I think that's done. One of our kids today called something really Gucci. And I'm like, oh yeah. So Gucci.
Yeah, so Gucci.
Yeah. But I think trail running is like really cool in like the what's actually cool kind of way, you know?
Oh, you know what they say? They say it has the riz.
The riz. What does that mean?
Riz, R-I-Z-Z. It's short for charisma.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
It was apparently like the Webster Dictionary word of the year for 2023. I had to look this up because I kept seeing it. And I'm like an old person that's like, what are the little kids saying these days? I don't know.
I feel like if it was Merriam-Webster 2023, it's done. It's over. It's passed.
So it's already.
Oh, it's way.
It's
yeah,
already no. out.
Oh. It's out. Yeah.
You know what I think? We need one of these weeks to get some young person.
Yes.
On this podcast.
Some young person.
And we can ask all the young person questions.
I'll go down to the park and be like, hey, kid, want to be on a podcast?
Do you want some candy?
And then they'll answer all these questions for us. But I will say, it's like, obviously, like, you know, whatever. Like, you meet a lot into wherever you live. But there's a lot of very hip people around here, you know, like they're very cool. And I will say, I think like, and I was watching that Lululemon thing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that struck me was like, it was just very like cool, very like of the moment, very like on brand. And so I do feel like triathlon just isn't like, it's not cool. Despite the PTO's best efforts.
We need to make triathlon cool again, cool. If it ever was.
Yeah. Well, there was a point. Well, I don't know. I was going to say, I think there was a point where, like, it felt like it felt very, like, cutting edge, like, very new and exciting. And, like, it just does it. Like, you go to any of, like, you go to a trail race or you go to open water swim race or you go to anything and people are basically like, don't be a triathlete about this. And you're like, okay, I'm sorry. I literally had someone say that to me and I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay. So. So we're going to find one of these kids and get them to explain what's cool to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how we can make triathlon cool.
Yeah, exactly. Because we like to come up with grandiose plans.
I used to coach high school. I should go find my high school kids and get them to come and explain things to us. But they're like old now. They're like 27 or something.
Yeah, that's too old. We need some like...
Wait, but I don't think the 17-year-olds have money. Like, don't we actually want the 27-year-olds?
But... We want to know what's cool, so we need a 20-year-old.
We need a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
Wait, how old are the youngest feisty interns?
They're like 25, 26. And
too old.
There's like 22-year-olds.
Too old.
Too old. I'll just go over to Cal. I'll go to like the college tri teams and be like, hey, kids, come talk to us. All right. It's done. Well, a couple of them, I will say, do listen. They're always asked, like, I'm always getting these emails for mentor. Someone told them they need to, like, lean in and ask for mentorship, because I'm always getting these emails being like, I wanted to, you know, get a coffee. Yeah. So that's I'll be like, awesome. I will come on the podcast and yes. we'll give you life advice.
And ask us relationship questions.
Oh, yes. We still haven't gotten any.
I can't believe we haven't gotten any advice questions. All right, people, if you need advice, you need to send us a voicemail or an anonymous email or a Signal if you really need it to be super anonymous. I don't have a Signal either, but and we'll give you advice
for anything.
We're just giving out unsolicited advice right now.
Yeah. No, it's soliciting. we're soliciting.
All right, life advice, Sarah. Here's what I wanted to know. So I was reading about the Olympics, because I'm gonna become full on obsessed with the Olympics as we get closer. I just feel like I should warn everybody. It's fine. And so there was this headline that was like, the contact ban is over for the Olympics. Condoms being handed, and apparently there was a ban at the last two Olympics, China and Tokyo, because of COVID. You weren't allowed to have sex in the athlete village. But now we're back to be allowing sex, and there's, you know, thousands of condoms being prepared to be handed out. So I need to know how much sex happens with the athletes.
In recent games, that's been the big thing, right? Like, yeah. Obviously not those two COVID ones. But like, they always hand out tons of condoms.
Yeah. So how common
is this? Let's imagine you have a whole bunch of fit, attractive people who have been single-mindedly focused on their sport for a long time. And they finally get to cut loose after their event. It has been a lot of like pressure and probably not a lot of contact with other attractive people who they aren't going to see again. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy in there.
Is it crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But don't you guys have roommates too?
Yeah, but like, I was not crazy because I was in a long-term committed relationship. I'm just going to put that out there. And I was in the, like, you know, I wasn't 20 when I went. Okay. I was older. So, yeah, I mean, people have fun. You can only imagine. It's like college, but just ramped up.
But ramped better up. Looking with sexy accents.
And also just like, I think people underestimate you've been
really stressed
in this, like, yeah, you've been in this little sport bubble where you are just focused on one thing. And just like, when you go crazy, you go wild. Yeah, for sure.
How did they stop people from having sex in Tokyo then?
I don't think they really did.
Okay. Kelly. Probably
people
not.
People really follow the no intimacy rule?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was an intimacy ban. That's what it was. It was an intimacy ban.
Although, like, with all the technology, you know, Tokyo, they probably, like, had, like, sirens and something and sensing devices.
They could probably sense when you were going to have sex. Like, I feel like they have that. They could manage that.
Didn't they? Was it... Didn't they have the beds that weren't supposed to hold the weight of two people?
Yeah.
So it would break and they would get fined?
I don't remember this. We need to look this up.
I was watching the video of the Paris, like, athlete rooms, dorms, whatever they're called. And they're also doing the cardboard bed thing where it's like, because then they can, like, build it and take it down and, like, recycle it.
Oh.
And they, like, were like, oh, it'll hold up to, you know, X number of pounds. And, like, they're trying to demonstrate how, like, sturdy it is. But... if they're really going wild, if there's really crazy parties, then I feel like.
I mean, let's be honest. Of course, the French. I don't know if this is a pro or anti-French thing, but like, they are pro sex. Let's be honest. Like, they were gonna make this happen.
Fair. Now I really want to go to one of these parties. I want to see. This is like, so you know how. Old Sarah and I are going to the Olympics, right?
You're not going to get invited to one of the Olympic.
Of course
Olympic
I'm not. Not
into
party. The village, but but Sarah, I feel like there's got to be so many parties just everywhere. Just everywhere that some of the party will seep out into the regular world. And Sarah and I will be able to find a party.
She wants to do her investigative reporting.
There are plenty of like industry parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just have to find like a like a Red Bull party or like something. Whatever Olympic sponsors there are. There are tons of parties. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. This is one of we were trying to come up with. Maybe people could also we were trying to come up with like things like what we're gonna do there, you know, like bits. Or like, you know, like whatever, like what kind of coverage do people want? And I was like, well, obviously Kelly and Sarah have to try and find one of the parties, one of the after parties.
Like Wedding Crashers.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm also going, did you ever do, Sarah, the like US Olympic Media Summit thing?
Mm-hmm.
Where they like, yeah. So they, I guess for people, like they bring a bunch of like all athletes from all the different sports to one place so that like all these media outlets can just like ask them questions all in a row, get it done, get it out of the way, like pretty early. So I'm going to that in a few weeks. And I want to know, like, what are the stupid questions you got? Like, what should I not ask people? Because I feel like I've heard some stupid questions on some of these. Because, like, you get people who know the sport and you get people who don't know the sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, geez, I can't remember specifics. But they definitely, like, you go to different stations, basically. And they'll just ask the same exact questions to everybody. I feels like BuzzFeed or something. Sure. You know, like, one of those outlets where it has nothing to do with sport. It's super random. Actually, I kind of like the random ones.
The random ones seem like more fun, yeah. So yeah, I've been trying to figure out what I'm going to ask everybody. Yeah.
You need to ask the male athletes who are dads the questions they ask mom athletes.
How do you balance?
How do you handle it all?
That would be pretty good. That could be a good,
feel
like,
dad guilt.
I should do that. That actually would be, like, a good... Because I've been trying to decide what questions to ask people. Because, like, obviously, like, there's some people I know, like, are sports. But then there's, like, sports I don't know. And I don't want to be, like, that person who's, like, how do you do the triathlon, you know? Like, I want to make sure I'm asking good questions. But maybe I'll just make them all random.
Yeah, the random ones are fun.
Like, what because parties are you going to go to?
Yes. Get research on what young kids are doing.
What the young kids are doing.
Cool.
I'll ask all the 20-year-olds, what are you saying these days?
What's cool?
What's cool?
What's the Gen Z lingo?
I actually, you guys, and this may be the least cool thing, I subscribe to a couple, like, Gen Z... Well, they're not Gen Z newsletters. They are written by, like, 28-year-olds or 30-year-olds. But they are about Gen Z culture to, like, know what's happening. Like, what are the trends? What's everyone doing? What are kids, like, talking about? Which is probably not cool to, like, get a newsletter telling you what the TikTok trends are.
It's not cool to admit it on a podcast that this is what you're doing.
I get a lot of newsletters, to be fair. I read a lot of things. So some of them are about... What are the things called? Like the hauls? Like when people do TikToks of like their haul, like their Christmas haul. It's like all the stuff you got. You basically are like, oh my God, for my graduation. And they just like show all the presents they got.
I'm not on TikTok.
This just reinforces that I'm not missing out on much.
I'm like, oh, well. All right, we're going to take an ad break and then we're going to answer all of Jocelyn's questions about power.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored heel to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the AminoCo heel chocolate. How do you like it? How's it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all AminoCo products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's AminoCo, AminoCo.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, hit us, Jocelyn. We hear you have questions.
Oh, so many questions. Okay, so I did raise my FTP up a little bit again.
Okay. Yay!
So it's now 221. So now I am...
You're like halfway to that 250 goal.
I am. Yeah. Well, 42% of the way there. I was like holding 230 for the first 5 minutes. And then it went south. But then I held it together. Enough that it wasn't like a total failure. But so then I also got my first power meter. I got the power pedals so I've never had a power meter on my bike riding outdoors. And I finally got to go on an outdoor ride over the weekend. And it was just fascinating to me. Cause I mean.
So wait, you had power, but it was on like your trainer.
So I've been on my trainer. On my Wahoo like all winter. And I think, yeah, because I only upgraded to like a smart trainer like in the last couple of years.
Right.
So I always had a dumb trainer where I did everything by perceived exertion. I always trained by perceived exertion. Didn't really use heart rate before because it's like not super reliable.
For you or in general?
I feel in general.
Because in general, it's super reliable. In general, it's like a very tried and true method.
But
there are multiple variables.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot you have to like know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're tired, et cetera, super hot. Yeah.
Right. There are a lot of variables. You can't be an idiot. And I'm like saying this and I also like don't look at it that much because like I have like heart issues and it isn't super reliable for me, but I'm just making fun of you. So.
Okay, so it was just very fascinating to go from like, okay, this is like I have a good understanding of what my power is when I'm riding inside easy versus like super hard, but then taking it outside on like rolling hills, it was like, oh, it's super easy to like get big power going up hills, and then I'm like going downhill and I was like, I didn't think I was soft pedaling, but like my power just went like woo way down.
Do you have so when you say like when you're trying to get your FTP up and everything this whole year, have you been following like a plan? Do you have like a or are you just like what are you doing?
I'm self-coached.
That's fine. You can still have a plan, right? Like you can still like have a plan to make this happen.
So my plan is like once a week I ride a really hard trainer session that is like one of those Sufferfest videos. Yeah. And then they will like tell you which ones are like focused more on your FTP, like your 20-minute power versus your 5-minute or your 1 minute. So I've been like using the ones that are more for FTP and they're like an hour. Yeah. So that's the plan. And then outside, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing outside. I think you have to like calculate your zones, just like when you have heart rate zones and that'll tell you like intervals. But I don't know. I just like, I don't know.
I feel like you're probably kind of in the figuring it out stage. So not getting too wedded to the numbers and going back to perceived effort and then looking at the data afterwards. I wouldn't be looking at the data as you train. Like you know what feels hard, what feels easy. And I think this is just going to be a good way to track progress rather than letting it dictate what you do. Because I think it's just still, like I said, you're in the data gathering phase.
Right. Because to be totally fair on Sarah, like to, because it's not like Sarah, like, could, like, knows what she, like, Sarah knows what she's talking about, right? Like, Sarah, I'm sure, has zones and power numbers she hits and, like, rides outside. But she's saying you're in the beginning phase and then you will move into the other phase.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Once you have more hours of riding outside and being able to look at the data, because you really do need that, like, okay, well, my perception of this being hard outside, because also, like, how you perceive something being hard indoors versus outdoors is going to change. Like, it changes based on terrain. So you get kind of these ideas of, like, ranges. Like, you're never going to get to the point where you're like, okay, it's 225 watts or bust. It's like, okay, if I'm holding between like 215 and 230, like, I know that's a good range that I can hold for an hour.
Okay.
But you need to have the hours of, like, basically data analysis to get to the point where you're like, that is an appropriate range. And, like, you gradually bump that up over time, I would say. But,
and, like, yeah.
You know your body from years of perceived
effort.
So, like, trust that. Like, okay, trust that over the numbers, I would say.
For sure. And I think you'll find that, like, so, like, you are saying you need to set zones and stuff. And, like, sure, that is, like, how triathletes do it and, like, very type A. But, like, to Sarah's point, like, as you will probably end up finding that, like, when you go hard, it's, like, around, you know what I'm saying? Like, you'll be like, okay, like, FTP, you know, it's around 220 something for you. That's like your line of, like, above that's zone five, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, that's really hard. And you won't be able to do that for more than, what did you say?
I am really curious if it's going to feel like so much easier outside. Because
it doesn't,
like,
it doesn't.
Like, that's how treadmill running is.
It's like, I think, because I'm terrible at trainer. I don't really trainer. I don't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, now that I'm not, like, serious, I don't do it anymore at all. And so it is a lot easier outside, but it's a lot harder to stay focused, if that makes sense. Like, you have to actually pay attention and, like, ride through all the downhills, ride all the turns, like, and that's a skill also, I think, that, like, a lot of people who go, like, ride all hard on the trainer all the time or ride in erg mode all the time don't learn then for a race, like, how to maintain that. It's also a lot harder on a tri bike to maintain power in the bars.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I did a workout today and I was so happy about my numbers for, like, where I'm am, but I was doing it uphill on my road bike and I was like, yeah, okay, well.
Yeah.
Sometimes I give myself cheats. I'll be like, well, yeah, I'm going to do that.
We've all been there.
That's fine. Fine,
okay,
whatever.
that is really, really helpful, because I do feel like right now I'm just in the, like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. And then, so I think Friday I'll go ride, like, a flatter course, which might give me different new information as well. And see.
And
how
you know
goes.
What? Like, okay, so you know how you're doing all this? So the first time I ever did, like, an FTP test, I did it inside, and I'm terrible at testing. Like, I am really bad at it. And I had, like, a really, like, but we had never done it before. So I thought, like, okay, this is my FTP. And then we calculated all the zones, you know, and, like, they were, like, all these prescribed workouts based on FTP. But it was actually, like, quite low because I test terribly. And so then I, like, wasn't getting any fitter because I wasn't actually going very hard. Does that make sense on all the workouts?
Yeah.
And, like, I knew that, but it was like, no, this is what the science says. So. Then I didn't get, I didn't, my FTP did not go up.
Justin. So you're saying my FTP might actually be 250?
No, I mean, no. I'm just saying that was, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, that's what I'm saying. Is actually.
But it might be higher. I mean, when I've done FTP tests on the trainer versus outside, it's higher outside.
Yeah.
How do you do it outside?
Just you like ride in a straight line,
right? As hard as you can for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay.
So I had, did I tell you guys this? I had a coach one time. So we have like the place where everyone rides their TT bikes around here, because it's all like hilly here, is like around this reservoir, right? So that's like where people will do whatever. Anyway, so we were doing this like FTP test, a bunch of like a whole group of his athletes. And it was like going to be like about 20 or 30 minutes to go like around this reservoir. And he was like, oh, well, go at an effort, Kelly, that isn't like an all out for 20 minutes. Go at an effort you think you could hold for an hour, and that'll be your FTP. And I was like, I don't think that's how like a test actually works, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I was skeptical. I was like,
Yeah, well, anytime I've done FTP tests, you do some efforts ahead.
Right.
Of time. And technically, it's supposed to be what you can hold for an hour. But it is kind of the weird thing of
like, it's weird. Like, I just felt like telling somebody to do what they think they could hold for an hour is not a test. That's just like a guess. Like, then I could just tell you what I think I can hold.
I think I can hold 250 for an hour.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, that's very different than actually doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my guess is, and I have no idea how you test, but I'm not saying this about you, Kelly, but a lot of people, if you're like, go as hard as you can for 20 minutes, you would see a steep drop off in power.
Sure.
But if you mentally reframe it, like, you know, this is what you would hold for an hour, you probably can't actually hold it for an hour that day, but it would be more stable power.
I'll tell you, you know what my problem is? Here, okay, we solved Jocelyn's problem. You ready for my problem? Like, the reason I'm really a bad tester is because I'm a really good racer. And so if I can do something, I can just do things in races that I can't do in training. So
okay.
So then, like, so I have this hard thing where, like, my husband's always like, I'll be like, oh, I have this really hard workout. It's 70.3 efforts. And he's like, why the fuck is that hard? You can do that for 4.5 hours. And I'm like, no, it's really hard. Because, like, for me, it's just like, I just, like, something clicks in my brain and I just can't.
You're a racer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when things turn off in my brain, like, whew, all of a sudden I'm getting dropped by people who, like, have never ridden a bike before. Like, it's bad.
Well, Kelly, the solution is everything's a race.
Everything's a race, obviously. That's what we've learned here.
Not my professional recommendation.
You know that 50K I did a few weeks ago that was, like, pretty terrible and... Anyway, I felt like I was trying really hard. Like, you know, I was like racing. And then I was around some of the guys who were like stopping to take pictures. And that's like very demoralizing when you're like going all out and somebody else is like taking a phone call. I've had that happen. I had that happen one time in like a half marathon on a bike path. The girl next to me took a phone call and I was like, oh no. Like, damn it. No. All right, here's my training question, my actual training question, and I think we just, like, I think it's going to be a quick answer, is, so I'm running a lot for me, so I'm doing, like, the same number of hours I used to do triathlon, but it's mostly running, it's, like, over 50% running, and it's so much shittier, like, it's so much harder, I hate it.
Yeah, there's a reason we're all triathletes.
Impact versus lower impact.
Everything hurts.
Yeah.
And I feel like also runners tend to like count their volume in miles per week. And then we do the hours per week.
Miles don't really make sense. Particularly, yeah, like one of my runner friends is always like, oh, I'm doing 15 this weekend. Do you want to run? And I'm like, 15 what? Like 15 straight uphill, 15, like what is that? That doesn't mean anything to me. So especially if you're doing a lot of trails, which is what I've been doing a lot of.
Trails
like,
are
mean
slower.
Nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, there was that year I thought I wanted to be like a super duper ultra marathoner and then ended up running like 6 days a week. And it was like, oh yeah, that's why I went from being a high school runner to getting into triathlons because of injuries.
I'm actually like knocking something really impressed. I haven't gotten injured yet, but I also am taking this week off because
knock on wood,
we're hurting. Yeah. I was like, oh, my poor ankle. Not good.
Yeah. I mean, so I'll say Ben never ran that many hours compared to triathlon training.
Right.
But still well over 100 miles a week and, you know, some hard workouts. And he would, like, get out of bed and be walking around like an old man. And I, like, I bounce. I've always bounced out of bed. Like,
oh, do you? You bounce out of bed.
I do. Yeah. I'm a morning person. But like, he is hunched over, like, ankles won't move. I mean, just in pain all the time. And that's the life of someone who just runs. It sounds terrible. It sounds absolutely terrible. And I can say that I've never walked around always in pain.
No.
Yeah. Like, running, just running is terrible.
And I, like, am still heavily doing a cross training. Like, to be clear, yeah. Like, right? I'm still doing a decent amount of swimming and biking because who the fuck runs every day? That's crazy. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It also makes you be like, oh, this isn't really super healthy. Like, you're past the point of this being healthy.
Like, the people that are streakers, the run streakers.
Well, you know, you do you, but yeah. Well, I was looking at, like she was talking about Ben, right? Like, not being able to walk and always being. And then I was looking at Camille Heron's Instagram post about after her records. And she was like, my bladder gave out on day 5. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, mm-hmm. It was like all kinds of stuff. Like, her, like, mouth got swollen from trying to eat. Her, like, she, like, lost control of her, like, bowels. And you're like, dude, this is like. I get it, like, world records are world records, and, like, there's nothing about them that are healthy, but it's, like, obviously at this point we've, like, passed the, like, exercise recommendation of, like,
you think
increased
longevity. Lululemon made her, like, custom diapers? Because you know how they're saying they made custom, like,
yeah,
custom to fit everything for every situation possible.
Exactly.
There rain, loss of control of bowels.
Probably, yeah.
Wouldn't you just change your shorts?
I think, but yeah, it was like a 2-mile loop, so probably she just changed.
Because I feel like, I mean, I don't know, that'd be a lot of chafing with a diaper.
But no, it's Lululemon's special fabric recipe.
That's true, they do have nice fabric.
They do have
Lululemon diaper. We're going to see that in the next collection.
We are. Gonna be the Camille
and it's gonna be like $80
ultra diaper.
You guys, like, anyway, I actually, my mom was like, oh, and those women and the rich women with their Lululemon, and I was like, oh, mom, rich people, they've, like, moved on, just so you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wear, like, outer known and marine layer now. I was like, Lulu's so, I mean, they still make nice stuff, obviously.
It's super
nice
comfy stuff.
It's super comfortable. Yeah. But I was like, it's not like the rich people anymore, just so you
know. Lululemon, call us up.
Yeah.
Totally. We will always take some merch here.
We will endorse your diaper, apparently.
Oh, for sure.
All right, Sarah, we missed a random question last week because you weren't here. So
okay.
You have one stored up.
So I don't.
Oh.
But if we were to have a youth on our podcast, what is the question you would ask?
I feel like I don't have any questions for the youths, but that's fine.
I would ask, how can we make triathlon cooler? Appeal to your demographic. How can we make appeal to you?
How can we make it cooler? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say, I would ask them what they spend their free time doing. You know what I mean? Because that's what I want to know is, like, what do they, like, what apps are on their phone? What do they spend their most time watching?
You TikTok know what I mean? And Snapchat.
Yeah, but, like, what do they spend their free time doing? Because, like,
absolutely nothing of value.
Absolutely. Oh, good.
I'm
like,
so,
my high school
I'm
kids,
so old.
You are old. You sound old and crotchety. I actually have these arguments with, like, some of my friends
nothing
all the time.
Because,
like my husband and, like, one of my best friends, they're always like, oh, yeah, the young kids, they with their ugly clothes, we got it right. And you're like, guys, like, try not to sound, like, too old. Skinny jeans actually look terrible on everyone. Like, let's
Agreed.
Just accept that. Like, and they're not comfortable. But what? So I actually am always, like, kind of, like, with the kids, but I'm always fascinated with how they spend their time. And I would want to know, the other thing that I remember from my high school kids is they had the most bizarre, they'd be like, my dream is to one day own a Corvette. And I'd be like, have a bigger dream. So I'd be like, I want to know what their, because they always have, like, the most random fucking, like,
dreams?
Goals and dreams. Yeah.
I want to know how they're going to achieve world peace.
Okay.
Good. Like solve all the world's problems, like climate change, because their future.
Yeah, and then it's always like interesting that where they get their information from.
How are you gonna clean up our mess?
Exactly, like all the plastic water bottles in the ocean.
That's what you're gonna focus on right now.
I want to hear what the youth of today are thinking about this, like, huge mess we left them.
Yeah.
They better actually think
they better bail us out. That's all I know.
I do think they have it a little more together on some of that stuff. Not like I'm not saying the 14-year-olds, but I'm saying like the 26-year-olds. I do think they're like a little, they actually like seem like they have it way more together than we did at 26.
At their age.
On the like social political ability to understand information. Like they're not getting scammed the way, all right, you know what I'm saying? I mean, actually like statistically they are, but that's because they spend a lot of time on the internet. But I'm saying like they're better at like being able to like discern things than we are.
They're critical.
I think
there was probably a bit of naivete to like the millennial generation.
Like, oh well,
it was the skinny jeans. It constricted jeans. Too much blood flow.
Definitely constricted too much blood flow. Oh my god. And then you put them back on now because like I didn't have to go to an office for like years, and then I like go to get dressed and I'm like, well, this is terrible. Like, no, like I can't bend over. I'm like trying to hike my pants up. Like, no one. Yeah, we got to move on from this.
All right. Well, I think this is it. I think this is the end of the podcast. Thanks for hanging in there with us, everybody. We started off, you know, with bodily fluids. We ended up with constricted blood flow thanks to skinny jeans and dresses. And we appreciate the ride.
And tune send us your questions.
And send us all of your life questions because we are dying to answer them. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.